Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion to episode 211. This is part two, Self-Righteous. Today is Sunday, September 11th, 2011. And welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if your household needs food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's and register your household for monthly groceries. You would come between 9:30 and 10:30, Monday through Friday, bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verification of the household members, either medical cards or social security cards. It's that simple. Pastor Paul's club distributes a lot of groceries, so be sure to bring help carrying the food, or if you're on the bus, bring a grocery cart or a huge bag, because there is a lot of food. A lot of times, Pastor Paul gives away cases of perishable food as well, such as fruits and vegetables, and 20-pound bags of onions. We deal with a lot of perishable foods, fresh foods, as well as frozen, not so much in the canned goods. So be sure to be prepared to carry, bring extra bags. Okay, if you have any questions, you want more information about Pastor Paul's club, you can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org. Be sure to go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find a link to Pastor Paul's podcast. So be sure to go there to check out the show notes as well. And then there are the scripture links in the show notes too. And subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast. Now for the month of September, these are the messages. The poor, self-righteous, crossing over, commitment, and separated. So be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. That's all I have for you. Have a great month of September. God bless you.
How many know we know we're guilty? We know it. You don't really have to tell somebody with a conscience when they all have consciences. It's put there by God. You're guilty. They know it. That's why people have inferiority complexes. Know what I mean? Where they sort of walk like this. They're guilty. That's when they go into a room and they feel funny. It's that guilt complex. How many hearing this? Man inherently knows he's guilty. You don't have to tell him. You don't have to walk up to somebody. You're guilty. Do you want him to get all white in the face, lay down and die? Hey, they know they're guilty. You are guilty. And this guy yelled so loud, I thought, I wish I had some earplugs to put in here. You know what I mean? What's he trying to do? Drown out his own lie? Are you hearing this tonight? Don't we all know we're guilty? Sure, we know that. Why to try to prove otherwise? Are you hearing this tonight? I mean, the conscience of the proudest man, when we ungag its mouth, let's say, tells him, you deserve God's wrath. You ever sat at home with your conscience? Huh? All alone? You're not all alone. You have your conscience with you. Guess who's speaking to you now? Your conscience. And oh, that beautiful scripture that says your conscience has been cleansed. Now it can't condemn you anymore. Why? You've received Jesus as your personal Savior, and that guilt is gone. You say that's too good to be true, and somebody will take advantage of it. Well, they took advantage of Jesus Christ, and he said, forgive them. They know now what they do. Don't try to figure out the wonderful, glorious gospel. Don't try to patch it up. See, he may brag, and he may boast in public, and he may act out a part. But his bragging and his loudness and the loudness of his bragging proves that he has an uneasy conscience. His high C screech. This guy was into a high C screech about works. They give us away. It's kind of like when someone's prophesying and they prophesy in high C. You ever hear somebody prophesy in high C? There's a scream. And somebody over in the other end of the room puts a PS on it, you know what I mean? And they sort of war against each other, prophesying. But what are they doing? They're trying to prove a righteousness. And sometimes he can even hear himself talk. You ever hear yourself talk sometimes? Huh? And he thinks, is this me saying this? What a liar. You, have you ever said something and you feel like a liar? I don't believe I'm saying this. I'm a liar. Getting kind of quiet on the radio. Turn your radio down, huh? Have you ever been in that kind of a fix? Praise God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful gospel the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Cleanses your conscience. Cleanses you from all unrighteous, makes you righteous. Washes your mind by the water of the Word. Gives you freedom and gives you liberty. And then some nut comes along and tells you, you got to work at it. 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 You got to work, work. You got to force yourself. So whenever I hear the infidel say hard things about my Jesus Christ, reminds me of a story I read one time. that when these tribes were sacrificing their children, they beat their drums to so loudly to cover up the screams. And so I thought to myself, these loud blasphemies and these braggart boastings are only a noisy way of drowning out the shrieks of consciences. Don't believe that these men are honest. And I think that all controversy with a person like that is a waste. And so I just let the conversation go on for a few minutes and then I excuse myself. And I thought, oh man, what a waste of time to try to build each other up how wonderful we are for doing this and for doing that. The only way to heaven is to work at it. Man, I said, if that's the truth and I had to work at it, I wouldn't be wasting time sitting here talking to you. I'd be working at it. I'd be wasting time talking to you. Give me a shovel. Give me a brush. Give me a broom. Give me some. I got to get working, man. I might miss it. How many are hearing this? And so there's all kinds, there's a brand new way of coming in now. You got to work, you got to work at it. Shames the Christian sometimes. Does. Pricks us in the conscience, just a little bit, just a little. Not enough so that we'd really get busy, but that wouldn't get us saved anyway. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the very opposite. See, you could go ahead and you could imitate the disciples, Jesus Christ. You could imitate him. But if you don't receive him, you're not saved. It's a receiving of him. It's a simple gospel message. Now, never stop and tell the thief the principles of honesty or the adulterer about chastity. Devils are not reasoned with, but cast out. I'd never ever cross swords with a man who says there is no God. Because you know why? He knows there is a God. He wouldn't even be talking about it. He wished there wasn't, but he knows there is. There is no God. And he shakes his fist. No, there isn't. And I said, well, now you know very well there is. You're getting so excited about there being no God. You know there is one. That's what's bothering you. It's your conscience. You need to be saved. So your conscience should be washed. All your sins would be washed away. That's what's bothering you. There is a God and you will be judged. Now receive him. They give you sort of a dumb look. You think about that. That's the truth, isn't it? And then when a man laughs at Holy Scriptures, you don't have to argue with him. He is either a fool or a liar, but his conscience still tells him God is. You don't have to say anything. Let him do all his yelling and screaming and carrying on and carrying on. And you know who he's going to hear? Himself. You know who's going to get on his case? His conscience. He's going to wake at the midnight hour. He's going to wake at the midnight hour. He's going to sit right up in bed. Right up in his bed. Because somewhere in that old man, somewhere in that person, his conscience is bothering him and just trying to prove there isn't a God, and you know there is a God. You don't have to get into vain discussions. Merely give the gospel. There is a God. Whew. Guy told me one time, he says, I heard this terrible shouting. You're wrong, repent. And it was outside my window. I says, no, there was nobody out there yelling something like that. I says, that was your conscience. How many know before you were saved, your conscience got on your case? Ooh. Oh, praise God. And then, you know, maybe some of you got caught up with some legalist that said, well, yeah, see, repent and turn to God. See, who made you repent, though? God gave you the spirit of repentance. You can't even boast in that. You can't say, well, one day I just decided to repent. No, you didn't decide to repent. Jesus first came for you. You didn't first come for him. He came for you. He spoke through your conscience. It says the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, the word we preach. That if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that will be saved. So Jesus put that word in there before the foundation of the world was even found. That word was put in your mouth and in your heart. And all you have to do is say it. Then he gives you repentance, so you go ahead and say it. But you don't have repentance on your own. No, you can't boast it. No, salvation is of God alone. There's nothing, you didn't do a thing with it. God is the one that does it. Well, I have a free will, this guy yelled to me. I says, yeah, you sure do. But God has a way of changing your will. God won't take my free will from you. I says, no, he won't take it from you, but he'll make you mighty miserable with it. How many know when God aims to save you, he'll save you one way or another? Huh? How many know that once he has you, he'll never let you go? And the Bible says, no, never, no, never, no, never, no, never. Now, isn't that a great message? How many know you need to hear that, everyone? You need to hear it about every sick, because you get around the legalist and you get around all these people and so on, like, not saved now! You're lost forever and ever and ever. You got to run your flesh up to the altar 15 times a month to get reborn again. How'd you like to take your kid back to the hospital to get him reborn all the time? Now I'm talking pain. Are you hearing this? Hey, praise God, you're only born one time in the natural, right? Praise God, you only have to go through this old life one time. You want somebody in here want to go through it 10, 15 times? No, afraid not, friend. Afraid not. Oh, maybe a self-righteous one will say, yeah, I think I better stick around and show people how to get right. Why? He knows he isn't right and he's afraid. He's afraid to go. Now, I know I'll get some phone calls on this one, but that's all right. Now, there is in all of our hearts and all of your hearts a witness who will not cease his testimony. It cries out, you are a sinner, you are a sinner. And all you have to do is listen to it. And you'll know, and you'll throw in, and you'll throw out all those good works. They won't get you nowhere. Now I know my conscience speaks to me. How about yours? Does your conscience speak to you? Huh? Maybe about 2:31 in the morning? Huh? Or 23 minutes to 10 on a Friday night? It's talking to you all the time. You out there that do not know Jesus Christ. Death stands waiting while your conscience keeps warning. That's that little small voice inside. And even as I preach, you listening out there, you may refute this message to yourself and say, Well, I believe I'm as good as others. In all this fuss about new birth, imputed righteousness, and being washed in the blood is all very unnecessary. But then in the loneliness of your own room, especially when death is near, you'll know and hear the truth loud and clear. You get that sort of a queasy feeling way down deep down inside of your gut. Now you see clearly enough, don't you? You see it with the eyes of horror. And you feel it with a heart of dismay and despair and perish. Because the Bible says you despise the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And probably because of some legalist work out your own salvation type fella. The Bible says at the day of judgment, you will be gathered. It says the trumpet sounds. Do you have your speech planned? When God calls you up front? Will you say, God, I blew a few trumpets for you too? Do you have proof of your righteousness? What's your proof of your righteousness? Well, let's see now. Well, wait a minute. Don't push me. Don't make me nervous now. You say that you fed the poor. You say that you took care of the widow. You gave much. You belong to the PTA. That you were a good parent. That you were a devout. You marched with signs, you did. You were against the H-bomb. You ate fish every Friday. You read scripture every day. You said your prayers every night. Okay, fine. Now come forward. You know, when you come forward before God, you get tongue-tied. And I look at this person, I say, my, your lips is all white. And you're sweating and you're trembling. Are you having trouble with this briefcase of self-righteous works? Are you having trouble opening that up, are you? Now, you come forward, you who have got into self-righteous works, have rejected Christ and despised His blood. And even those that have professed Jesus Christ as Lord and then have taken and stood in the door, not let others in until they become like they are. I kind of fear for them. They're saying, be like me. Attain to the point and degree that I have. That's another gospel. Bible says, let them go to hell. Come now and say, I have kept all the commandments. I have kept from my youth up, I've kept them all. Now you're going to see a whole lot of people seized with fear and their bowels are going to be loose, the Bible says, and they won't be boasting at all. You'll be crying out, the Bible says, rocks hide me, bury me, mountains fall upon me. Let me hide my face from God. Are you hearing this? And so the plea itself is evidence against the pleader. And I believe there's probably an unregenerate man here who says, I am blind also. And I answer with the words of Jesus, but now ye say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. That also you have proved by your plea in the first place that you have never been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, but you remain in a state of ignorance. Now a deaf man may say there's no such thing as music. Or a man who has never seen stars may say there is no such thing. He only proves the folly of his own ignorance. The man who can say half a word about his own righteousness has never really ever seen himself. And how many know, and I for sure know about myself, that I have no righteousness on my own, none. Actually, I mean, it's so silly for someone to come forward and try to act like they have some kind of righteousness, or they have attained some type of righteousness on their own. And if you feel tonight or today when you're listening on the radio, feel yourself to be guilty, lost and ruined, there is the richest hope, and that richest hope is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if on the other hand you feel I am good, I have merits, then the law condemns you. I think a man may be a true Christian and fall into sin. But a man cannot be a true Christian and boast in his self-righteousness. No. And I kind of fear for all the programs I hear on the radio of all this self-righteousness that comes off of the radio. Because you see, you're preaching another gospel. I think a man may be saved and be in the mire. But he can't be saved if he doesn't know that he's been in filth and is not willing to confess his guilt before God. See, there are no conditions to salvation, none whatsoever. But I believe any man in grace will know his state of depravity and ruin. But when you say, I'm not guilty, you have made yourself ready. Are you hearing this? Don't go on your own righteousness, I said here tonight. Don't try to build yourself up. Don't try to be something you cannot be. Don't we fall into that every once in a while where we get self-righteous and someone will come along and say, oh God, you're doing such a great, great work down here. I just don't believe it. Now this is the way to heaven. If anybody makes it to heaven, you'll make it to heaven. But the Christian that knows himself and has been enlightened by the Holy Ghost will say, oh no, 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 please don't get into that. You're raising a stink. How many have heard this message tonight? Don't we need to hear it every once in a while? And I heard a guy say, he says, well, I want proof of another world. Well, the Bible says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. Another fellow called me and says, I despise vices. I'm upright and honest. I don't feel I need salvation. Another fellow called me and said, well, I would come, but I'm not good enough. Sir, you are self-righteous in another coat. You're waiting until you can bring something in, and you'll never be able to bring something in. Come as you are, the Bible says. Let me close with this Psalm 143:11. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. What does that mean? It means no life and no light can come but from God. Bible says he is the giver of life. And then it said, quicken me. Why would he do this? Simply because he wants to. Why did God save you? Because he wanted to. Why does he continue to keep you? Because he wants to. Why will he never, ever, ever, never let you go? Because he wants it that way. It's as simple as that, isn't it? He delights, the Bible says, in giving mercy. So keep calling and he will continue to quicken. And it says, for your own glory, Lord. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. See, I can bring it in, but only you can bring it out. You cry out to God and say, God, help me. For your own glory, Lord, save me. I'm in trouble. The Bible says, Call on him in the time of trouble and he will answer. You listening on the radio, if you're not born again, just call upon the name of the Lord. Don't get in with some legalist and some tight-lipped, white-faced freak. Is that a little bit stern? Well, hey, it's time for being stern. We're some with the new wave and the new thing that's coming up now. You got to work at it. You got to work at it. All these folks ain't doing nothing. And they're not. I said, they don't have to do anything. It's already been done. All they do is praise God, and their praises are empty. Maybe, but their hearts are full of Jesus. Salvation is of the Lord. Oh, it's going to be a heavy time when we get up there and we go before the great white throne of judgment. Don't ever think it won't be. Because God is going to ask questions. Where were you when I was sick, a prisoner, and a widow? Where were you when I was in prison? Where were you? He's going to ask those questions, but it has nothing to do with your salvation. There's going to be rewards in heaven. But as far as salvation, you have already received the reward. Jesus Christ is your salvation. And the people really got rooted and grounded in that gospel message, you'd see a whole lot more works going on. Not for righteousness' sake, but because God had made them righteous. Once you really see what Christ has done, and I mean by the Spirit. I don't mean by just reading. I mean by the Spirit. God, what have you done within me? Well, just take a real good look at yourself, and then you'll know what God has done in you. And the older you get, the more you know that he's done for you. Say amen, somebody. Then you'll know why the gospel must be preached unto all creation, because you need it. You need to hear the gospel all the time so you don't wander off astray, start taking credit and building up works and how many bags of potatoes you moved and all this kind of old thing. You know what I'm talking about? Say, it's a privilege to work for the Lord Jesus Christ, but it doesn't get you saved. You do it because you become Christ-like because you want to. Jesus said, God saved you because he wanted. Jesus came and died on the cross because he wanted to. I want to. I want to forgive them. I want to take them home. I want to prepare a place for them. I want to give mercy. I came not to judge, but I came to save. And unless your righteousness exceeds that, you won't make it to heaven, talking to the legalist. It's pretty sad when you listen to some of these people and they get into this self-righteous attitude. I was up at a cafe up here and two people got in a fight. One person says, from across the room, I know everything. To this other person. I know it. And I thought, how asinine. How could you know everything? I mean, the older you get, the less you know. You don't have quick little answers to everything. When I first got saved and I was young and preaching, well, I would have quick little things to say, little cliche scriptures. Oh, stand on the word. Doesn't it say in so-and-so? It says this and says that. And walk away and leave the person there, you know. They didn't help them a bit. Didn't help them any. Or pray over them and just say, and command them in the name of Jesus and this and that. You remember them things years ago they had? Well, this is quite a bit. They went through all these phases. They went through the demon casting out stage and they had books and books, pigs in the parlor, and all kinds of things like that. Man, how many know there's pigs in the parlor every day? They're people. Let me tell you something. A fallen nature of man could teach a demon a few things. They're fallen, just like angels. Oh, no, but they're not demons. Mighty close sometimes. A fallen nature of man can... how many know that's the truth? That just makes you want to worship God all the more. Right? Sure does. But you know something? Without boasting about it or without anything, all of a sudden you feel yourself changing. You feel more dedication coming in. You feel more giving your life and so on. Like not because of works of self-righteousness things, but you just feel yourself changing a little bit at a time. Not so you'd hardly even notice it, though. But God notices it. Just like you notice when your kids start to change. Huh? Right? When you potty train them. And they used to change 15 diapers a day, and then you get down to 14. Well, it helps. It helps. They're not quite the mess they used to be. And then they get potty trained, and then they go to the next thing, see? Tearing the house apart. But, I mean, you know, it's growth. It's growth. They go from one evil to the next, but they get delivered of one evil and get into another one, don't they? Huh? Well, God's got a lot more patience than you moms have, too. Praise God for that. Right? How'd you like to have the big hand of God coming down spanking you? Well, he does in a way. And he does it through your conscience. And he does it in a loving way. And I'll tell you right now, the gospel message right now in this end age, when you go out, preach the gospel to people. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then explain that and give about your own testimony, how the Lord has changed you on and on and on like that, you know. And don't boast in yourself in any way, but I mean boast in the Lord. And there's so much to talk about in the gospel. Don't ever think that the gospel will leave somebody not knowledgeable enough. You know. Now a lot of people, they grow out of the gospel. Well, now you've been saved and now you must grow. And you take a look at some of these people that have grown and they're homegrown. And they're homegrown. They are a mess. Say amen, somebody. Because they got their eyes off the gospel message. I know myself, I get my eyes off the gospel message and get sort of knowledgeable, you know, and get sort of tricky in your teachings. And people say, ooh, how profound. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, jewels. Oh, jewels, huh? And then they go out of church and they say, boy, that was a great jewel. What was it about? I don't know. Huh? See, the Holy Spirit won't even bring it to your remembrance because it ain't worth anything. But the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the gospel message. And down there in front of these corporate heads down there, and the gospel message was, here, man, ting. Why? Because the Holy Spirit brings all things unto your remembrance. Lord, thank you for these people here tonight. Bless each and every one here. Bless them, Lord. And we want to thank you, Lord, for the gospel message that you've given us to set the captives free. Jesus, help us in this very end age right now to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ, not with a lifting up of self in any way, but to lift Jesus up that all men may be drawn unto him. Father, I want to thank you for tonight. I want to thank you for all these people. I want to thank you for the ministry and the helps that you've given us down here on the north side. God, help us to be a light and a beacon in a city set on a hill. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 211. That was part two to Self-Righteous. If you missed part one, which was on Friday, be sure to go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And there you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes to each episode. And within those show notes are scripture links that you can link to and find those scriptures that Pastor Paul talks about within his message. Be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday and every Sunday. Next week's message is called Crossing Over. Thanks for listening. God bless you and have a great week.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime, no help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime, no help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.